Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome all of you here this evening to the house of the Lord. Welcome to this Wednesday night Bible study, and welcome all of you joining us right now online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. It's an honor and a pleasure to share the Word of God with you this evening and every single service, almost every single service. It's something that brings fulfillment, something that brings encouragement, that nourishes me. The Word of the Lord is applicable to me also. I just don't preach this stuff. I learn from it, and I try to live it. And we bless the name of the Lord. So thank you so much for joining. I want to get started right away in the Word of God this evening. So let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we exalt you. We worship you. Thank you, Lord, so much for being here with us, Lord, this evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus, so much for your presence, Lord, in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful worship time that we had to just love on you, Lord. We bless your holy name. And Lord, I pray that this evening, your Holy Spirit, Lord, will speak to every single person, every single individual, Lord, both here and watching right now on online, on YouTube, or through Facebook, wherever it might be. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will speak to them directly. May your people, Lord, hear you and see you and not be. Be glorified, Lord, this morning. Or this evening, I should say, rather. Be magnified. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last couple of Wednesdays, with the exception of last Wednesday. Last Wednesday, we had Prophetess Lisa Hicks here with us. We had a wonderful, wonderful service. But prior to last week, I had been talking about, who knows what I've been talking about? Can you remember? That's right. The worship leader tonight is on point. Amen. Having the right attitude. What was that? And specifically anger. That's exactly right. And I've been enjoying the study of attitude. I would venture to say that we all agree that attitude is something that's very important. Attitude goes a long ways in your personal life, in your business life, and also in your faith walk. I certainly could use some attitude pointers from time to time, when sometimes I can lose my cool or something just gets under my skin, and sometimes, you know, I don't want to say that I fly off the handle, because I don't fly off the handle anymore. Praise God. There are certain things that you could always polish up, right? You can always work on. Today, I don't want to talk about anger per se. I've spoken about that last couple of Wednesdays. I want to talk about having a fair mind. And specifically, the title this evening is Being Fair-Minded. Now, in the recent past here, with current events, with things that's going on, there are certain topics that a lot of people try to avoid. Right off the top of my head, I could think of two. For one is presidency. When you talk about who is the president, who was the president, or even presidents in the recent past, a lot of times it strikes a peculiar conversation. People fly off the handle on that one for sure. You talk about the current administration, and people get, either they'll get, you know, happy, or they'll get very, very, very upset. And it shows, right? I'm going to name another one. COVID-19. Ooh. Well, what about COVID-19 specifically? Specifically, what I'm referring to is the shot, the vaccine. Ooh. Now, while people might have different reactions concerning the vaccine, nonetheless, you still receive an attitude. You still receive a type of attitude. Some people wholeheartedly believe. Today I was listening to the Christian radio station. I was coming back from picking up my car. I was getting some work done on my way home. There was not a congresswoman. She's the governor there of PG County. I forgot the name, her exact title. But she's a Christian woman. She's a proclaimed Christian woman on a Christian show, very easygoing, very soft-spoken, and she was endorsing the vaccine. And one of the things that I heard her say, because the radio show guy was like, well, what about those people who say that they shouldn't take it? You know, they don't believe in it, they're just not ready for it yet. So she gave two reasons. For one, she tried to give the reasons that it works, that they are, you know, there's no aftermath, there's no consequences, and et cetera, and it's perfectly fine. And sometimes I think, well, where do you get your resources from? But that's something else. The next thing she said was, she said, I hate to say it this way, and sometimes it's taken the wrong way, but I hope you understand that it's not about you, that it's about somebody else. This is you being responsible. This is you being caring, you know, community. And, you know, you're taking this so you could prevent the spread, right? So there are those people who think that. There are other people who say that it's a political virus, that it's no good, and it's everything about it is geared towards the extinction of people. The earth is overpopulated, and there's these two battles going back and forth that people get caught up in, and then we have an argument, we have a situation, we have a problem that oftentimes causes division, causes strife. And it is in these moments, and I'm not saying just these two topics, but it is in these moments where we must be fair-minded. We meaning we who call upon the name of the Lord, we who are Christians. And whatever difficult situation that we face, whatever it might be, whether we feel we are being taught the truth about something or taught something else rather than the truth, there is still a right attitude that our Lord God wants us to have. And this is what I want to focus on this evening. One could say that this person is telling the truth, and someone else can say that that person is telling the truth about this and about that, and they're lying, and this is made up. But nonetheless, there is still a right attitude that we as Christians, as believers, should have regardless. And as we have seen in the previous Bible study here on Wednesday nights, this right attitude is neither the angry approach or the hasty approach. Remember, I spoke about hastiness and I spoke about anger. Both of those two things we cannot have when we're trying to represent the kingdom of God, when we try to be a witness to people. Now, the word attitude, as it's translated in the English language, attitude, it's taught that it's not found in the Bible, the word attitude. Now, there is a wonderful example, however, of the right attitude that we can follow if we are confronted with a teaching that is different from our understanding. Now, when they had passed, when these two gentlemen had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, these two gentlemen, do you know who I'm referring to? That is Paul and Silas. Those two men. They came to a place called Thessalonica, which is where you get the book of Thessalonians, right? They came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of Jews. For lack of terminology here, Christian dudes, Christian folks, right? People who believed in Yahweh, who believed in God. Then Paul, as he usually does, as it was custom to him when he goes somewhere, he would go in, and here in this particular situation, he was there for three Sabbaths, reasoning with them about the scripture of God. I'm going somewhere here. But the Jews, these particular Jews who were not persuaded by the things that Paul was saying, they became at one point very envious of Paul. And then what they do is they went and took some evil men back from the marketplace. They went in the marketplace and got some of the biggest bruisers, the biggest brawlers, gathered a mob together, and ultimately got the entire city on an uproar. And mind you, these are Jews that were from the synagogue. In today's time, these are Christian folks. These are Christian dudes creating a havoc right now. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, these folks now, these are more fair-minded than the ones from Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God. The word says, with all readiness. And then it says, and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Imagine, two groups of people, both proclaiming to worship the God of Israel, two different attitudes. And I want to read this. This is going to be my opening verse for this evening. This story is found in Acts chapter 17, if in case you'd like to turn your Bible there. We are on Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to give you just a few minutes, or a few moments, I should say, for those who want to turn the page. We're going to read about this particular situation where we find, for lack of terminology, again, Christian people, however, two different situations, two different attitudes, two different mindsets. I think I'm ready for that. Acts 17, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, now when they had passed through, and there's that word, Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, right? So basically he's saying he taught the scriptures. He went in there and preached the word of God. He was sharing the word. He was sharing the message. And now verses 3, please. Can you put up verse 3 for me? There we go. explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ. Right? We already know that the Jews sacrificed the Lord Jesus. They did not accept him as being the Savior. It was a huge uproar. You had those two men walking towards Jerusalem when our Lord Jesus met them, right? This is after he rose again, and they talked for a while, and then their hearts burned as they were talking to them. The Lord Jesus even went up with them to have supper with them, broke bread, and after he broke bread, he disappeared. In that conversation when they were having on the road, they said, did you not hear what has just happened, how they crucified this man named Jesus, right? So this is something that everybody knew about. This is something that everyone was aware of, and there was a division. There were the people who believed in Jesus, and there were those that were completely against Jesus. As a matter of fact, Paul was one of them. And even so, his name was Saul. Before he got his name changed to Paul, he was Saul, who was against the Lord Jesus. You speak to Saul about this Jesus, you probably get beat up. He'll throw you in jail. He'll allow you to be stoned to death, right? But now things change. But he's still seeing those types of people. And now, verses 10 and 11, please. May I have that? Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded, right? These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and then they didn't just leave it there. They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. How about that? I want to say that to this day, there are still those two types of people around. There are those that when you bring up a particular topic, as I mentioned earlier, they fly off the lid, right? They lose it. Something political, or something like the vaccine, or something like even COVID-19, or any sort of sensitive subject that might be, you know, in the mouths of everyone at that particular time. And then there are also those who are more what the Bible calls fair-minded. There is a writer, a commentator, Christian commentator that I look him up often, and he has good insights on certain things. That is Mr. Albert Burns. And he once wrote a quote about what we're reading right now. He says, quote, this literally means more noble by birth, descended from more illustrious ancestors. But here the word is used to denote a quality of mind and heart. They were more generous, liberal, and noble in their feelings, more disposed to inquire candidly into the truth of the doctrine advanced by Paul and Silas. It is always proof of a noble, ingenious disposition to be willing to examine into the truth of any doctrine presented. To examine, to learn, to want to research. They received the word of the Lord with all readiness of mind, the word of God says. They listened attentively and respectfully to the gospel that was being preached to them. They did not reject out of hand, per se, Paul's teachings as unworthy of examination. Sometimes people will hear something for the first time, and because they're hearing something for the first time, they completely reject it. They don't go to the Lord and pray, or they don't do their research. Not the case here with these Christians. Then they search the scripture, the Bible says, on a daily basis, repeatedly, to find out the truth of what the apostle was saying. This is a right attitude. And right attitude is of the most important to one called by the Lord God. We who are called by the Lord, having the right attitude is extremely important. If our attitude is poor, we will have difficulty learning and potentially may reject the kingdom of God. If, on the other hand, our attitude is good, we will be thankful to God for all that He has done for us. And we will be cheerfully working to take on His nature. We will be able to take on, as the Bible says, the mind of Christ. All these things start out with having the right attitude. Our focus should be always, folks, always on the teaching of God, no matter what. Everything that is preached, everything that is taught is 100% from the Word of God, and that never changes. And we are always urged, every single one of us, we are urged to search the Bible on our own to prove it for ourselves. There are times when people come and approach me after service and say, "Pastor, could you please re-explain this when you said this? Or could you please give me a backup verse for that, which you just finished explaining? Or can you say that to me one more time because I didn't understand?" That's perfectly fine. And people have come to me and have mentioned to me that they have researched what I said. And we had a talk about it. Peacefully, of course. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it is encouraged. And in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 66 reminds us that it is the individual who is humble before the Lord. It is the individual who is poor and of a contrite spirit who trembles at the word of God. A person with the right attitude that God will deal with and bless that individual like a son and a daughter of God. Let me bring that verse to your attention. Isaiah 66, verses 2. "For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look. But on this one I will look. On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." All these things, all these three things, speak of a type of an attitude. The Word of God right now says that the Lord will look into you. He will see you. He will have His attention on you. You're not going to be neglected. Three things the Lord God prefers from us, from His holy people. The first thing that's mentioned is a poor man. What does that mean, a poor man? Humble. The word here, downtrodden. The person that potentially might be oppressed, the Lord will look into you. The person who is afflicted, subdued, pious. All these words apply to right now, what is being said right now here, poor in the text. The Bible says that you are a godly man. You are a godly woman. Then the Lord says a contrite man, meaning one with a broken, crushed, contrite spirit. The Lord will not despise you. The Lord will have his eye on you. And then the final thing is a man who trembles at his word. I translate that personally, this is me speaking now, as reverence, as zeal, someone who has reverence to the word of God, that type of attitude, someone who trembles at his word, who takes it seriously. All these things speak of a particular type of attitude. Now, my question here, and I've spoken about this particular individual in the last couple of weeks, and that is the gentleman by the name of Jonah. Did Jonah repent? My brother back there, he's... That's a good question, right? Did Jonah repent? Sometimes the book of Jonah is so short, and it almost leaves you wanting to know more. Like, what happened to Jonah? You know, how did he die? What was after Nineveh? Did Jonah repent? Because we leave the book of Jonah in a bit of a tantrum, so to speak, right? A grown man tantrum, right? So you wonder, like, well, did he repent? But what about this Jonah? His wretched attitude. And then God's awesome love and patience for Nineveh. And then also patience for Jonah himself. Jeez, it almost seems like the Lord's got his hands full, right? No one knows for sure what took place after we leave Jonah sitting, filled with self-pity and feeling sorry for what has just withered, right? And he's just going off. The only other Old Testament reference to Jonah comes from 2 Kings 14:25, but still makes no mention of his adventure to Assyria, as it's mentioned there in 2 Kings. Let me bring that briefly to your attention right now. 2 Kings 14:25 says, "He restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher." So, it calls Jonah the man of God, the servant of the Lord, right? His guy. So then, we might speculate. Traditions say that the people of Nineveh showed great respect to Jonah for sounding the warning that ultimately saved them. You know, they repaid with love. They showed him love. They were repentant people. Now, knowing that God wants to lose no one, knowing that the Lord wants to save every single person from eternal damnation, as well as his ability to perfect those who he has called to serve him, it is nice to think that indeed Jonah finally learned the lesson of having the right attitude. If he really meditated on the fruits of God's decision to spare Nineveh, he cannot help but to have repented and continue to do the things that the Lord would instruct him to do. Or at least I am certainly hoping so. You know, I truly think so. Even when the Lord spoke about Jonah, you know, in the days of Jonah, the sign of Jonah, you know, I think that Jonah was all right. And I do think that he repented, 100%. Now, I'm just going to say this. My last question for this evening is, what is the lesson for this evening, Pastor? What is the lesson now? We also can allow our human nature to rule us through a flawed attitude, given into rebellion, given into anger and hastiness of thought and hastiness of action, if we allow it. If we don't pay attention, if we're not on guard, we also can fly off the lid. Now, conversely, we can humble ourselves before the Lord, sincerely asking for a positive and right attitude towards every single situation, towards that person that you don't get along with, that person that you detest, towards your boss who is always giving you a hard time, or your in-laws who you don't necessarily care for, or, I mean, you name it, whatever, your neighbor guy. Who knows? You can always ask the Lord for help, and the Lord will be there for you. The Lord will look upon you, as is mentioned in Isaiah 66. And this evening, I want to leave you with two verses. I want to close this service with two short verses. They're both from the New Testament. The first one is Matthew 18:4 that says this: Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Some people say the kingdom of heaven is, you know, when we are above the clouds. Some say the kingdom of heaven is all that we do, is the Christian walk, is the Christian life. It's this atmosphere where the Holy Spirit dwells. I mean, I'll leave that between you and your buttons. However, the word of the Lord says, whoever humbles himself, this is the attitude right now we're talking about, as this little child is the greatest in his kingdom, in the kingdom of God. And my final verse for this evening comes from James chapter 4, verses 10, that says this: Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And this is what he's going to do. And he will lift you up. He will lift you up above any sort of situation that you're going through right now. Whatever situation you are going through in life, all that it takes is for you to humble yourself before God. It doesn't matter how hard, how tough, how impossible. If we humble ourselves before the Lord is promising you and I that He will lift you up. But it takes the right type of attitude. And the attitude that the Lord seeks is humility, humbleness. Amen. Having a fair mind. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful promise that you've given every single one of us. And Lord, I pray that every single person, Lord, here this evening and everyone watching, Lord, right now online, that, Lord, that they would want to humble themselves before you with all sincerity, with all eagerness. May they have, Lord, reverence, full reverence, Lord, to you, to your word, to your kingdom, to your house, and everything else, Lord. Lord, it's very important for us to have a humble attitude. That is, Lord, the right attitude, Lord, that you seek from us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, for those who need help in this area of humility. Holy Spirit, teach them, Lord. Teach them in how to be humble. Lord, as we always say, we love you, and we will always love you for as long as we live. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. God bless you.